I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike.
All right. No, I'm sick and tired of people riding their bikes. I would like, if I could ban one thing in this town.
Yeah.
Other than the rat, which is hard to ban because they just don't go along.
They don't listen.
It. No, they don't. Not well. So I'm told they have excellent hearing. I would ban the bicycle. I'd ban anything on two wheels, essentially, and especially the scooter. But I can't do it. Alderman Riley can do it, though. Because
that's on you.
Yeah, that's on you.
Awesome.
That's on you. That's you, President Pro Tem of the City Council.
Right.
And I would say that, now, first of all, the bikes on the Riverwalk. Mm-hmm. Right. It was a big issue about that because, quite honestly, I think that's more dangerous for the biker than it is for anybody else.
It could end up in the water.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot going on down there. We've talked about this before. There are some bicycle advocates who believe bicycles belong literally everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep reminding folks, we named it the River Walk for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the
mm-hmm.
River Bike.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually working on some compromise legislation that would, during the times of year where it's not real densely populated and used heavily, that bicyclists could use this early morning hours, later in the evening, in those months where you don't have a heavy tourism season on the Riverwalk and a lot of programming.
So what would that be? Like November? October? November?
You know, we're still kind of talking it through, but, you know, we're thinking May through October, no bikes down there, and then after that, certain times of
just
day.
Just in time for icy, sleety rain.
Whoops! Are you going to be salting down there and clearing the snow?
Well, you know, apparently people use this year-round. And again, when there aren't conflicts with pedestrians, I really don't have an issue what you're using down there. But when you're putting folks with mobility issues and folks with strollers and little kids at risk,
yeah,
that's a
right.
real problem.
Alderman Riley, I'm going to tell you, I was there Friday after work. I walked down to the river and met some people at the city winery. Mm-hmm. And it was mobbed down there. I mean, it is. I don't know where you would get a bike through. I could barely walk through
right.
the crowds to get to where I was going, and the boats are lined up, and people getting on and off the boats on the right and on the left. They're leaving restaurants and things. It just, I can't see how it would work.
No, well, it doesn't. And so, you know, again, we're hoping to kind of find some way to meet in the middle, but priority number one, making sure pedestrians are comfortable and safe down there. If there are other times of day when it's not a hazard, then maybe we can talk about bikes being down there at those times. But for now, we do not need bikes on the Riverwalk. One of the things we're looking at as a different way for people to get east and west from the lakefront is actually possibly doing a protected bike lane on Wacker Drive.
On Upper Wacker Drive.
There's
Lower Wacker Drive. That'd be fun.
That would be an adventure.
Oh, boy.
I spent a lot of time down there dealing with very different issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, on Upper Wacker.
That reminds me, my Continental box needs an upgrade. So if you could help me with that down there.
But you know, Upper Wacker, there's a lot of capacity. And frankly, cars drive a little too fast up there.
Oh, I mean, no.
It's super, super wide. It's a pedestrian hazard as it is. Adding one lane for protected bicycle use, I think, would be okay. But we're actually having that engineered so we can look at it, study it. But I hear the bicyclists loud and clear. They want a safe way to get from east to west and west to east.
Well, so do Chicago motorists. I want to point that out.
Yeah.
We'd like a better way to get, especially to some southwest to northeast. That would be good. That's that we have all these diagonals and they're all going the wrong way. But it's all right. Hey, all right. Let's talk about the fees. First of all, we had the Cook County Treasurer in here last week.
Okay.
And she scared us. There was a lot of scariness. You know how the property taxes have gone up, right?
Everybody's,
I'm sure in your ward, you're getting a number of calls when the property taxes went up and people want to know what it is they can do about that.
Yeah, none of us are happy about the property taxes.
Right. But she rang a warning bell about next year, about the property tax bill for August of next year, 2020, saying that, especially in the city, we could see huge increases again because of the city budget, and the city budget numbers aren't in yet. What say you, Alderman?
I think that's been identified as a measure of absolute last resort for Mayor Lightfoot. Mayor Emanuel raised property taxes $600 million. People are still feeling that now.
Yes. I know. And then on top of what just happened now, yes, I know. People are getting scared.
And I'll scare you a little bit more. Compounding that problem, the Cook County Assessor's Office is trying to unravel decades and decades of nonsense and trying to figure out the fair way to assess these taxes. The bad news is it's going to mean higher property tax bills for a lot of us. It'll be a rebalancing of who pays what. So there's yet another whammy coming, too. Mayor Lightfoot,
when is that whammy coming?
In the next 2 years. And so Mayor Lightfoot is fully aware of this. She's looking for other options first. But she understands there's a lot of pressure on the property tax now, and we're getting to that tipping point. And for some people, we're beyond the tipping point.
Right. I mean, there can be people. And the thing is, you can only tax. I mean, this whole idea, well, we're just taxing the rich. Well, guess what? The rich have options, correct, right? The rich get to get up and move. Well, right. And you have incredible tax base in the near north side of Chicago, Lincoln Park, all the places that, mm-hmm. you know, where the investment bankers and the lawyers and doctors and Indian chiefs, they all live. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's a big deal. There's a lot of money there.
Right.
But if people decide they want to get out, the property values are going to go down precipitously.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. If you have a big sell off, that's bad for everybody.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting you mention this. In addition to the folks who are wealthy that live in nice homes, in expensive homes, we also have folks who are property rich and cash poor. So people who may have been teachers or firefighters or police officers 30 years ago.
Or even doctors and lawyers. I mean, who are not
nurses,
making it. Right.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
Bought a condo in Streeterville at a decent price 30 years ago, and now it's worth a lot of money. They're living on pensions or Social Security.
Fixed incomes.
Correct. And so this is their most valuable investment by a lot. And this idea that, well, they can afford this, not necessarily. And so I think there's a misperception about the people who live downtown. They think everyone's living in a penthouse, right, driving a Rolls Royce. That's not the case. Some people make a personal sacrifice, financial sacrifice, a larger portion of their annual income to live here.
Right.
To be closer to work, to be closer to the fun and the activities. That's a conscious choice people make. Not everyone moves down here because they're rolling in money.
And I think the spike is what bothered everyone, too. All of a sudden, how do you plan for that?
That's right.
When you're on a fixed income or when you're on an income that isn't considered wealthy or something like that, how do you suddenly say, okay, I got to pay 30% more and then be fearful about what's going to happen next?
That's exactly right. And we're still staring at a mountain of liability with our pensions. We still have a tremendous amount of outstanding debt. So we're not seeing a lot of, you know, rosy pictures down the road. But again, the thing I'm hearing from a lot of folks in my ward, especially retirees, is how am I going to pay for this? And why is the city pricing me out of my home?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to sell a place I've lived for 30 years because I can't afford the monthly installments?
Boy.
So, yeah, it's a real problem. I think the mayor is going to be leaning heavily on Springfield for some help, and I think she's going to get some. But she's got to look at other sources of revenue beyond the property tax, because that one is just about maxed out.
Right.
Yeah,
I feel it. I feel it amongst people that I talk to. I grew up in the neighborhood you're talking about,
yeah,
that
mm-hmm.
part of East Streeterville where, you know, those were rental apartments. We grew up in a rental.
Right.
You know, that was not, we weren't, there's nothing fancy about it. People, oh, you grew up downtown, it's fancy. No, it wasn't.
Well,
it's $400 a month.
And renters aren't immune to property tax increases. That's baked into your rent.
Right, exactly.
So you're seeing rents going up too. It's a real mess. And we're going to have a lot of hard work to do this fall. We're all waiting to see what the finance team puts forward as their kind of raft of revenue options. One of the things that's encouraging to me is that this mayor, and I didn't hear a lot of this out of the last two mayors, is really doing a deep dive on where can we make smart cuts? Where can we pull back the size of departments? What divisions of departments don't make sense anymore that are mm-hmm. outdated? Why are mm-hmm. we paying these people?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and there is, by the way, still a tremendous amount of low-hanging fruit in that budget that the last mayor refused to touch. In middle management bureaucracy, there's a lot of fat there, a lot of managers managing very few people. So I do think that the mayor's team will identify some pretty meaningful savings, too. It's going to have to be a blended approach. We're not going to save our way out of this. But I think that has to be the first approach. How can we right-size the budget? And let's figure out then what revenue we need to fill that budget.
And stop going to the same taxpayers over and over
exactly
and over again.
Right.
There's a ethics reform today, too, that was interesting. It talks about how it seems to be aimed at those officials in government who have outside businesses where they might be at odds with the city's best interests is the way it was worded.
I don't have that problem myself.
Right.
But, yeah.
But Alderman Burke, obviously, there's a $5,000 fine per day if anyone is considered to be falling under this umbrella. And I think that includes tax work.
And it absolutely does.
Yeah.
It's
a problem.
Not a great...
How did that all of a sudden become a thing? I thought that was fine.
That was baked in the cake. Hey, it's supposed to be okay.
When I got here, it was legal. I could
Why
never
is that a thing?
Never understood that.
Yeah.
No.
It makes no sense. You know, I was told today by a colleague that in the city of Philadelphia, you could do anything.
You couldn't?
You could be a member of city council and do zoning work.
Right.
Within the city of Philadelphia. But in this case, yeah, if you're an alderman who also does property tax appeals work, you had a really bad day. But I think that the package reforms is fantastic.
Okay, but that's not passed yet, right?
No, it passed today.
It passed today?
It passed today.
It's going.
Unanimously without a dissenting vote.
Did Alderman Burke vote for it?
It was voted on in the omnibus, so technically he did. We didn't do a voice. We did a voice vote, not a roll call vote. So he didn't stand up and say, "I vote yes." It was anyone object, and no one did. But I think, it's interesting. We had a big part of this that also wasn't really talked about much because everyone's fascinated with the outside work component. Is this also allows the Inspector General finally to investigate members of the City Council on ethics complaints? This was something that was fought over tooth and nail for years and years and years. I always voted to support that ordinance, but it would always fail by a vote or two.
Ooh.
This thing sailed out unanimously. So I think that the political climate the last year and all the scandal that's been erupting at City Hall helped grease the skids for some good government ordinances to pass. So I'm thrilled that this ordinance passed. I know the mayor is very excited about it. There's a few members of the council who aren't, but this is a good first step. This is just the beginning, guys. I mean, there's going to be more reform coming down the road, and believe me, there's lots more room for that.
Yeah. So, I feel it.
The town ain't ready for reform. Hey, I want to ask you quickly. We were talking earlier this week about the fees and the fines for like parking tickets specifically.
So amnesty payment plans and these things.
Stuff like that. And I told a story about when I was a kid, and I think I made like the top 10 scoff laws in like Chicago for parking tickets. Yeah.
Unpaid parking tickets?
Yeah, I used to park in front of the Wrigley building every day for year. Yeah.
What were you doing at the Wrigley building?
I was working there.
Oh, and you just thought you could park in front?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There were meters there then, though. And I just didn't have the quarters. Anyway, the point is that, and I got it, and you know, that was under the yellow ticket system right before they went to the orange tickets, and it was, you know, a totally different world.
Yeah, those seemed optional.
Yeah, it was optional. And what you did is they would get to you, and they didn't have the boot yet, and they'd eventually get to you, and they'd go, hey, you know, and then you'd pay 20 cents on the dollar, and then you'd walk away from it. You know, it was as soon as you could come up with the money. That seems like what we're going back to here.
I think, so I'm
there's a reason we went away from that.
Yeah, and I agree. I think, you know, if you want to avoid getting a ticket, pay the meter, don't park in a tow zone.
Right.
And I get that. What we're dealing with now, though, we've got 70,000 drivers or so who have had their licenses suspended for non-moving violations primarily, so parking tickets. So these folks owe a tremendous amount of debt to the city of Chicago. What I think is a little backwards is that we're taking away people's driver's licenses. Many folks need the driver's license to actually work. And we've also denied cabbies and rideshare folks the ability to drive, to earn money, to pay their debts. So long as there's forgiveness tied to a payment plan, I'm willing to consider that. But ultimately, I think I'm one of those folks who believes very seriously that if you willfully and knowingly violate a law, don't be upset when you get a ticket. And don't let them pile up ad infinitum. So I think there'll be some discussion about it. I know what the mayor's trying to do. She's trying to, I think, bring some equity to this and make sure that folks that owe the city money are in a position to actually go earn money to pay us back and support their family. And I think that's reasonable to look at. But generally, if you don't want a ticket, don't do the offense.
Don't do the crime. If you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
I've
you
heard
got
that
it.
Somewhere.
Thank you, Beretta.
It's
all right.
Beretta.
Appreciate it. All right, Alderman Riley. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Alderman Riley.
Get back to running the city.
And happy birthday, Anna.
Thank you very much. No bikes on the Riverwalk, okay? That's my birthday present.
Right. For you.
Although at City Hall, generally there are contractors and other people, just a big brown bag. Hey, happy birthday, Alderman. Nice to see you.
Yeah. I don't have that problem either, Ro.
Okay, all right. Now this is where he immediately goes, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. He's one of the good ones.
Yes, he is. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Mayor Lightfoot learned her lesson with a hot mic.